Hello, everyone. You're listening to Family Talk, the radio broadcasting ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and thank you for joining us for this program.
The following program is intended for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Well, welcome to Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and in just a moment, part two of Dr. Dobson's powerful conversation featuring David and Claudia Arp answering the question, "The kids are gone, now what?" The Arps, of course, are the founders of Marriage Alive International, and they're the authors of classic books like 10 Dates for Mates, and the book that we'll be discussing on today's program entitled The Second Half of Marriage, Facing the Eight Challenges of Every Long-Term Marriage. First, though, this reminder, we have a special free opportunity for you from our friends here at the JDFI. Of course, Dr. Dobson wrote a classic book many years ago called Bringing Up Girls, and with over a million copies of that book sold initially and even more sold over the years, the biblical principles that you find in there for raising young girls, especially helping them navigate the preteen and teenage years, has proven invaluable for literally millions of families. We have a free 10-day email series that we'd like to make available to you, and you can get your hands on it right away. Simply go to drjamesdobson.org and then click the link at the bottom of today's broadcast page. Give us your name and email address, and we'll be happy to send you this 10-day email series featuring powerful, timeless biblical principles that Dr. Dobson includes in the book Bringing Up Girls, as well as information on how you can order a copy of that book as well. Again, for the 10-day free email series called Bringing Up Girls, go to drjamesdobson.org, or you can call our resource center at 877-732-6825. Now, it's interesting when you think about what happens once those daughters and sons of yours have been raised and moved out. It's an opportunity for a couple to stay connected and actually grow stronger together during this new phase of life. But how does a marriage shift from child-focused to partner-focused? How does communication change when the children are grown and gone? How do you keep fun and friendship in your marriage relationship? Well, during the next half hour, David and Claudia Arp are going to get into these issues and more. So let's get this conversation started. Here now to begin is our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson, on Family Talk.
We began this discussion last time talking about the second half of marriage, your book. You made reference therein to eight problems faced by those at that time of life. Tell us what they are. List them for us, will you?
Okay, there are the eight challenges that if couples can surmount these challenges, we believe they can build a successful, loving, growing second half marriage. The first challenge is to let go of past disappointments and forgive each other and make that commitment to making the rest of the bath, a commitment not only to permanence but to growing in their relationship. That's the starting place. If they can't get past forgiving each other and accepting each other as a package deal, they're not going to go much further. The second challenge is to create a marriage.
We're going to see how well you know your own book.
Yeah,
here. You've reached for the book. What's the second?
Okay, the second is to create a marriage that is partner-focused rather than child-focused, to move past those years when you're just so focusing on your children. Let your adult children grow up. You need to let go and then reconnect with them on an adult level. And then you need to refocus on each other.
Well, let me pick it up there. Okay. Challenge number three is to maintain an effective communication system that allows you to express your deepest feelings, joys, dreams, expectations to each other, but do it in a positive way.
So you say in there that communication in the first half is different than communication in the second half. How so?
Well, in the first half, you're communicating in sound bites and just, you know, short periods of time. The kids are always there. They're, as we call it, the ankle biters, you know, they're always interrupting you. So your communication is very short, and you don't have time for long conversations. But in the second half, you do have time for those long conversations to talk about the meaning of life and what you personally want to see happen in your life personally over the next, you know, X number of years, and where you want your marriage to be. And for some of us men particularly, it's a little uncomfortable. We don't know. This is sort of new for us. It's a new language.
Yeah. You don't what have do I say now?
Yeah.
What's number four, Dave?
Number four is to use anger and conflict in a creative way to build your relationship. We've been talking about that. It's so important in this stage
of
life. We've
done a pretty good job of covering them so far.
Well, we have. We have a lot of pastors who tell us that, that when couples come in who've been married 25, 30 years, this is the issue. There's so much bitterness and resentment that's built up. It's so hard to deal with it. Challenge number five is to build a deeper friendship and enjoy your spouse. You know, fun in marriage is serious business. We need to put more fun. Dating is an important part of it.
When we did our national survey, we discovered, and also research has backed this up, along with how you handle conflict, the greatest indicator we found for a successful long-term marriage was the level of the couple friendship. And the more years they were married, the more important that factor became. And we started thinking about it, and we thought, you know, our culture is not marriage-friendly today. And marriage is not held together from without. It's from within, and it's that core relationship. And the friendship is what builds that relationship, and you build your friendship by having fun together.
That reminds me a little bit of the mice who agreed that there needed to be a bell on the neck of the cat, and nobody had an idea how to get it there. We all know we need to be friends in marriage. What do you say to the person that's been married 25, 30 years and says, this person is not my best friend and sometimes not even my friend? Can it be rebuilt at that stage?
Absolutely.
We believe that you can take any marriage, if the Lord is involved and you can allow the Lord to give you the forgiveness, yes, you can reinvent your marriage for the second half. We see it happen. We see the Lord really step in and perform miracles.
Sometimes
in a couple
with
of
an outside consultant or counselor.
Counseling can be a very important part of it.
We're working on a project for Christian counselors right now to turn our 10 Great Dates resource into something they can use in their counseling to help couples restore this friendship. And we believe that any couple who's willing to set aside time and date their mate, they can jumpstart their relationship.
10 Great Dates means suggestions for what you can do together? Is that what that? I haven't seen that.
Oh, that's good. ten Great Dates is there are 10 fun dates, but each date has a marital theme. There actually, it's a marital skill, but we just call it a theme. And if you're the church on the corner that's offering fun dates and free or low cost babysitting, couples will come. And basically, you're allowing those couples to, it's a short video date launch where Clay and I just set the tone for the date and a little bit about the skill that you're going to be practicing. And you send them out for an hour and a half on their date, and we hope they come back in an hour and a half to get their kids.
If I caught that, this is part of your seminar to couples in the second half.
We have a book, 10 Great Dates.
Yes.
And it's also a video resource for churches and groups. And this is the follow-up to our Marriage Alive seminars. Our churches are just using this resource, you know, standalone. But it's a program. It's a marriage education program that will draw couples who would never go to a marriage seminar or a marriage Bible study, but they'll come to the church for fun dates, especially if they offer child care. And we're finding that what happens, the women drag the men the first few dates, but by the third or fourth date, the men are dragging the women.
It's
and
very consistent.
Getting involved.
The husband's really getting into it, yeah.
And it's a great resource also for couples in the second half. We did it really broad-based. It's for couples all ages and stages of marriage. But it's a program around the country. It's going really well.
People really do get excited about what you have to say, don't they?
Well,
we're pioneers. We've always been out there sort of pioneering new areas. And so when we started pioneering the empty nest, it wasn't on anybody's radar screen, but they're pragmatic and they want some help. And so we're trying to be prepared and be there for them and have resources for small groups and for Sunday school classes to help them build their marriage in the second half.
Now, we've gotten through five. I believe.
Oh, you want to pick up at six?
Yeah, let's take number six.
Challenge six is to renew romance and restore a pleasurable sexual relationship. And, you know, from our personal experience, we believe that our love life has been more creative and more fun since our kids left home than before. We remember those adolescent years. It was probably the low point in our love life.
You know, everything they, else.
Oh, and everything else. But, you know, three sons, and they stayed up later than we did. And, you know, we were pretty exhausted by the time we got the last one out the door. Mm-hmm. And so,
do you know how many people feel like it's over by that point?
Oh, a lot. Yeah. We a lot in our seminars. Couples come up to us all the time and say, you know, I think we've forgotten how. You know, it's just it's just.
But
that was in the early years of our marriage. But we do believe that this is another area you can reinvent in the second half.
We lead them back to Genesis 2:24, which is the verse on marriage that Christ quoted in the New Testament, that we're to leave our father and mother and cleave to each other and become one. And we said those are three principles are the foundation of a Christian marriage. The leaving other things, making your marriage a priority, cleaving to each other, becoming soulmates, best friends, and becoming one, building a creative love life. And God commanded us to do it, and he didn't say it's just for the early years. Mm-hmm. So get busy. He's the one that put that passion within your heart to be played out in the framework of a loving Christian marriage. So get busy loving each other.
Now, here is another instance where you may need some help in understanding that. Well, there may be physical reasons if there's a lack of what's called a libido or desire. Mm-hmm. There may be a lot of reasons. Some of them emotional, and sometimes it requires a little assistance.
Well, in our small group last night, this is one of the first questions that came up was about the sexual relationship in the second half. And they said, what's the difference between the second half and the first half? And I don't know, we just said, you know, the second half is more of a stroll. The first half was a sprint. And now it's more of a stroll. We have more time. Our bodies react slower, so that it's a good time to be playful, to experiment, to just enjoy the process.
You have the whole house.
You
know, and you have time. But you have to be proactive. You have to be intentional, because if your love life has been on the back burner during those adolescent years and the parenting years, it'll stay there unless you move the pot. And so you have to take the initiative. And so we encourage couples to take getaways. You know, you may be, you might say, well, why do I need to take a getaway? Just to change your environment, just to get out and do something different and to be adventuresome.
Yeah.
Go select a good book on love life. And
If I had to offer advice to a couple that's lost interest in one another and wants to rekindle it, the very first thing I would do would be to say, concentrate on the other 23 and a half hours a day. Pleasure one another in other ways.
Yes.
Show love to one another. Build a relationship. That's what makes a woman respond.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't concentrate on the sexual experience itself if you haven't laid the foundation by drawing close to one another. That's what makes human sex different than animal sex. It's because it comes out of a deeply emotional commitment to one another.
Out
you have to start with that.
You know, one little tip that we give in our marriage life seminars is we encourage couples in the morning when you say goodbye to each other, kiss for 10 seconds, just 10 seconds.
Mm.
And then when you come home in the evening, kiss for 10 seconds. That's 20 seconds you're investing in your marriage each day.
But Claudia, what do you do for the other 9 seconds?
That's exactly it.
Because
usually couples look at us, you know, as you look out across the audience, they look like, well, what's the big deal about 10 seconds? Well, time it. You know, hold up your watch and you can count. You know, 1,001, 1,002. 1,003, we're beyond most people right now. And 10 seconds is longer than you think. And we get more emails about the 10-second kiss and how it's revitalized people's that intimacy in their relationship. Just 10 seconds.
Shirley and I had an opportunity to go to the inauguration of George W. Bush, and we were in the Texas ball that night. And apparently he hates to dance. And yet it's traditional that they dance. And so he told the audience that, he said, I've never danced for more than 30 seconds in my life. I'm going to try to beat the record. And so they start dancing. They dance for about 12 seconds, and he looks at his watch.
How long is this going on?
Yeah, it was tough for him to get through it. Some couples that have been married for 20, 25, 30 years, my find it difficult to kiss for 10 seconds. But what a
great idea. You start with 1 second
just
and then
start.
Work up.
Yeah. Work up. But we just got an email from a couple saying, you know, we've been practicing the 10-second kiss, and my husband said that, you know, our marriage has made a turn because we're paying more attention to each other. We're being more intentional. Anything, you know, the dating. Dating is an attitude. We turn almost anything that we do into dates. Every fall, we have a flu shot date.
Flu shot date,
where we go and get our flu shot together, and we
what
just make
thrill.
It a date.
Yeah,
what a great thrill.
But you know, Dr. Dobson, I probably wouldn't go get the flu shot if we didn't make it into a date. So we go together. I hold Clyde's hand while she gets her shot first. I want to see if it's okay. Then I get my shot. And this last year, we started a new tradition. After we got our shots, we kissed. And Dr. Bob, our doctor, he said, after 28 years of medicine, I've never seen a couple do this before. So we just take any.
What
it's
a
an
celebration!
Attitude. Yeah, that's what you know. You can take any. It's an attitude. You can take anything and turn it into a date, and just interject a little bit of fun along the way.
I got to tell you, you got to be hard up for a date.
Well, another date that we do is our airport date because we do seminars almost every weekend. We spend a lot of time in airports, and all the things you hear about delays, as you well know, really happen, and flights are canceled. And when we're discouraged and tired, what we'll do is. We'll just go to a flight that's been called. It's not our flight because our flight's delayed. And we'll pretend like we're saying goodbye to each other, that one person's going to get on the flight.
I don't know if you realize it, but airports are one of the few places where you can kiss passionately in public and get away with
it. So nobody looks at you.
Yes, they do.
Oh, do they?
They do us. And that's part of the fun because they look at us and say, gee, that couple's a little old for this kind of stuff. So that plane loads. You know, we don't get on because it's not our flight. And then we'll just go to another gate where they're loading. We'll do the same thing.
That's called fun. I agree.
It's called fun, but it's an attitude. You can go to the grocery store together, to run errands together and turn it into a date.
Shirley and I used to love to go to the farmer's market and just walk along looking at the produce and the fruit. I don't know why we enjoyed that, but we did. What's number seven?
Number seven is adjust to changing roles with aging parents and adult children. And this is probably the greatest felt need that most couples, dealing with their adult children, having aging parents who need medical help or maybe need to move in with them, all those issues sort of go into that
it's
particular challenge.
It's called the sandwich generation. Yeah.
And there are so many needs and stresses and hurts in this stage of life. Mm-hmm. And what we tried to do in this challenge was not to solve all the problems of adult children and aging parents, but was to challenge the couples, whatever your situations, however desperate it seems, how can you make your marriage the anchor relationship? How can you be united together and support one another? We can all handle stress so much better if we know there's one other person that understands how we're feeling right now. And so to be that person for your spouse.
We could do an entire program on that subject. We're almost out of time here, and I have one other very important subject I need to ask you all about, but give us number eight.
Okay, number eight quickly is the eighth challenge is evaluate where you are on your spiritual pilgrimage, grow closer together to God, and together serve others. And this we end on this thing because we can grow closer together spiritually at this stage of life. We have the time, the spiritual, and the financial resources to get involved in ministry, to short-term ministry. You have a lot of your volunteers who want to come. They want their lives to count at this stage, and you can do that.
Now, let's deal with the most difficult, perhaps, of all the subjects we could talk about in the second half. And that is the specter of widowhood or a widower, the possibility of the loss of that person that you have dreamed with and grown with and raised children together. And now you come to this stage of life, and let's suppose it is as it is for Shirley and me, that this has been the most wonderful thing that's happened to you. And yet hanging over us is this prospect of one going on to heaven and the other one not for a while. And that's really scary. I know Shirley and I never completely get away from that because I've had a heart attack and a stroke and I'm feeling great and doing well, but still that's there, you know.
It is, and it's very scary, and that's close to our heart, too, because we're at, you know, basically the same stages of our marriage. And this last year, I had some surgery and found out later, you know, I could have died. Mm. And, you know, we've had people say, well, aren't you too close? What if you're too close? And is it going to be too hard when you lose, when one of you loses the other? And, you know, we thought about it, and we thought, well, you know, no, we're not too close. God's desire is for us to be one. We don't want to be meshed in each other. We want our, you know, other interests. But we have never heard anyone say, I'm so sorry, I worked so hard on my marriage. We worked too hard on our marriage. And we thought, well, you know, if we one of us loses the other, it will be with no regrets. Because we took the time to build our marriage now. We took the time to build our friendship while we had that time to take. And as hard as it will be, I cannot imagine life without Dave. But I know that God is there and Christ would see me through.
When this subject comes up, I think of the movie Shadowlands. I don't know if you all saw that,
yes.
But it was about C.S. Lewis's writings, and he had lost his wife. And the entire story deals with him asking the question, you know, would I have hurt as badly if I hadn't loved as much? And at the end of the movie, the final conclusion is that you can take two routes in life. One is that you can protect yourself from pain, make yourself invulnerable, and not allow yourself to connect with others, and therefore not suffer loss, or at least as devastating a loss, because you have built a fortress around yourself. The other approach is to make yourself vulnerable, to love and to value, and then to hurt when loss occurs. And his final conclusion is the latter is better than the former.
It's better to love.
Absolutely.
You know, that's so what couples face in the second half of marriage, and many couples aren't willing to reinvent their marriage. They just want to stay in this, quote, comfortable relationship. Yeah. But they miss that intimacy, and they miss that opportunity to live out before their children, their grandchildren, their communities, what it really means to have a loving Christian growing long-term marriage.
What a wonderful thing to have sweet memories and not bitter ones when it's all over. And then we're going to spend eternity together on the other side.
Well, Claudia, what you just said reminded me, too, that we're not doing what we do as far as our marriage life ministry just to help couples have happy marriages. There's a bigger purpose, and that is we believe that a loving Christian marriage where the love of God really is flowing between husband and wife and that forgiveness is evident is the best it's the best lighthouse we have for Christianity. It's the best evangelistic tool we have. We have more people who come to Christ because they see Christ in our relationships.
Last weekend, we were doing a seminar in Houston, and a couple came up to us, and they were New Yorkers, and they said, we've just got to tell you what happened to us last year. And they had visited this church and saw that there was an emptiness second half Sunday school class, and they said, we got involved in this class, and we became Christians through this study of the second half, and they had just been baptized, and they were getting ready to have a 40th wedding anniversary celebration where they were going to renew their vows, and they were like little newlyweds running around.
I mean, they were just there,
you know,
full energy and holding
hands. What a great advertisement for marriage, and what a great advertisement for Christianity.
That's the way I feel about you all. I believe you've got a message, and you have something to say to today's families. You're meeting a need. And I just trust that as a result of your being here on these 2 days, that the Lord is really going to take this ministry to new heights. You're available. You don't want to run your legs off. We've already said that, but you're available to speak. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
And
we also have
staff that we're training.
Yeah. And we also have a wonderful website. It's marriagealive.com. It's the opposite of marriage dead.
A lot of resources there.
Yeah, a lot of resources on marriagealive.com. There are a lot of interactive resources. There's a whole section dealing with the second half of marriage. There's the sections dealing with dating. It's just almost anything you want to deal with. As far as it deals with marriage and parenting, we have resources there to do that. So marriagealive.com. come.
Well, it comes out of your own experience and the things the Lord has taught you. And I just trust the Lord will continue to bless your work and your future writings. Thank you for being our guest, and we will meet again.
Well, we are so delighted to be working together in the harvest, the Lord's harvest here.
It's been exciting for us, and we thank you for the opportunity.
Well, this has certainly been an inspiring and a most useful conclusion to a loving conversation among three people sharing from their hearts based upon their experiences in their own marriages here on Family Talk. Of course, that was Dr. James Dobson with a classic interview he conducted with David and Claudia Arp as they examined the question of the kids are gone, now what? Maybe you or someone you know is going through a similar transition. And if that's the case, please let us know here at Family Talk. If you'd like to learn more about David and Claudia Arp, their ministry, Marriage Alive International, or more information about their resources, visit us online at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. That's drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. While you're there, be sure you also click the link at the bottom of today's broadcast page for more information on how you can start receiving our free 10-day email series based on Dr. Dobson's best-selling book, Bringing Up Girls. Again, it's a 10-part email series that's absolutely free. All you have to do is sign up to get it, and you can start receiving yours today when you go to drjamesdobson.org, or you can call our resource center at 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. And now, if you'll excuse me, I plan to spend some time with my lovely wife, Lisa. Maybe we'll go on a date or something. See you next time.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.